The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome back to Feminist Book Club, the podcast. We're not just about feminist books. We are here for social justice, literature, and media in all its forms. But we do that through an intersectional feminist lens. Thanks for being here. Let's get started. Today's episode is sponsored by Feminist Book Club's weekly newsletter, Beyond the Box. Did you know Feminist Book Club publishes upwards of 5 blog articles and 2 podcast episodes every week? Our diverse crew of contributors share their unique experiences on hot new books, older titles that may have flown under the radar, social justice issues that are bubbling up online and offline, pop culture topics with a feminist lens, and so much more. No need to check back every single day. We've now compiled all our content in a weekly newsletter that we send every Friday. What a great way to spend a Friday at lunch. We call it Beyond the Box. You can sign up with the link in the show notes or in the sidebar of our blog. Please note this is a separate email list than our marketing list, and you do need to opt in. Joining Beyond the Box list does not subscribe you to our marketing list. We only send 1 Beyond the Box email a week. So find that link in our show notes or again in our blog sidebar to get all our content emailed directly to you every Friday.
Hi, friends. Thank you for listening to Feminist Book Club podcast today. I am one of your hosts, Emma Ito, pronounced she, her, hers, and I am super excited to talk to you guys today about some of my favorite reads so far in 2021. If you are here and you're like, man, here we go, Emma's gonna wreck her top 3 books, let's go. I am sorry to say there's a lot more than that, so, you know, let's buckle up. I have actually read 115 books so far in 2021, and I read all different genres. Hopefully you guys have heard me talk in some episodes about a lot of different books. I love fantasy, first and foremost, love fantasy, but I also read a lot of history books, I read poetry, I read memoirs, I read fiction, so I'm gonna kind of cut this up in different books that I really loved by genre. Because, like I said, read 115 books so far this year, so I'm sorry, I could not pick just 3. But this is spoiler-free, so I will kind of hopefully give you a little taste of what each book's about. Maybe there will be some that you have already read, already listened to, and if so, hopefully you'll be cheering me on and maybe agreeing with me. Honestly, though, if you disagree with me, that's cool too. I'd love to know your thoughts on all the books I'm going to talk about. So let's pop right into it. I want to talk to you all about my favorite genre first, which is fantasy. And I have read some really awesome fantasy books so far this year. I'm going to start off with one that I think many of you probably have read, The Poppy War by R.F. Kuang. The Poppy War is a trilogy. The first book came out May 1st, 2018, so I was a little late coming on to the Poppy War train. I saw it a lot on Bookstagram, and I was really intrigued by it, and I was just really drawn into what sounded to me to be a very complex story, which it absolutely was, and Kuang's writing is just incredible. She is a Chinese-American author who, it very clearly shows through this, studied a lot of Chinese history, and it just reflects really clearly in this series. And I actually loved the first book the most, which I know some people love the other ones more. But Kuang really does this thing with her characters where she makes them so human. She puts all of their strengths and all of their weaknesses on display, and you really see all these aspects
of humanity. And she also brings forth a lot of questions about what you start to think of extreme nationalism. And I kind of thought through, like, well, how much responsibility lies on each individual's decisions in the light of potential nationalistic kind of brainwashing propaganda? You know, how much responsibility lies with censorship and government control? You know, there's some really serious themes in this book. And one of the questions I had, too, was, like, after terrible traumatic actions, is it possible for nations of people to reach a point of reconciliation? And if so, how do you do that? These questions come out of what we see centered on the story of a poor orphan named Rin. And so she trains in secret to test into this elite academy that is meant to train all of their students into becoming good generals, good soldiers, and be able to, you know, win wars, essentially. The character building, even with the supporting characters, is just really incredible. And as I mentioned too, like, Kwong's grasp on history is really, really impressive and particularly memorable. And content warning for what I'm about to say is for sexual slavery, so just be aware of that. But particularly memorable are these very graphic scenes that involved very real atrocities that happened to women and girls. So during World War II, the Imperial Japanese Army essentially, like what I just said, forced women and girls into sexual slavery. They were often known as comfort women. This is kind of a piece of history that gets glossed over, I think, by a lot of folks. And so I really, even though it was really graphic and tough to read, I appreciated that Kwong brought that into the story, because these are really very real things that happened to people and affected their lives. So, I mean, like I mentioned, she creates these characters in a fantasy world, but everything just feels so real and so human and just so grounded in history. One piece in particular that really stuck out to me was the reality of what a person's life means. And there's this quote that was, I'm just going to read it to you. It's, "His life was an entire world constructed around him," end quote. Yet a character's rationalization that these were just numbers were, quote, "a necessary subtraction," end quote. And that's really something I think of a lot as I study history, because, like, and even with, like, living in our world, we always see numbers when it comes to people dying, like, pretty consistently. I think, like, COVID, for example, is a good one where we just see numbers of people dying. And it's hard to remember that every single one of those numbers is a person and a story and a life. They have their own world. And that's why I like that quote, because it's their lives, their entire world's constructed around them. And this series really reminds you of that. So, you know, all that being said, is I'm talking about a lot of heavy pieces, because I feel like that's definitely something that you should know going into this, if this is a book that you're interested in. But don't forget, this is a fantasy book too. So I'm not gonna forget to mention, there is magic in this book. And it is extremely awesome how they plug that in. But again, this is a non-spoiler review. So, you know, I encourage you, if any of these pieces speak to you or think that you think they're interesting, you know, take a whirl at it and let me know what you think. And if you have read it, I always want to talk about this book. So just, like, send me a message, please. Like, I want to know what you think. Okay, I am not going to talk that deeply in length about each one of my recommendations, because we are already 7 minutes in. But I do want to, like, talk a little bit about some of them. And that is one in particular that is near and dear to my heart in 2021. But the next book I want to recommend is actually not out yet. It actually comes out October 19th, 2021, which is perfect because it's just in time for spooky season. This is a horror fantasy book. It is called Nothing But Blackened Teeth. It's a novella, so 100 pages. It's actually 102 pages. But it's a very quick read by Malaysian author Cassandra Kaw. And it features a bisexual character who goes into this Japanese mansion that's been abandoned. And there's a group of friends that are thinking it's like this perfect wedding venue. And they go and have, you know, food and drinks one night and games. And then very quickly discover there is a ghost bride in the house. And it's very much pulls from Japanese folklore. And I just really loved just how creepy it was. And I know we don't judge books by covers, but I will say the cover of this is like so perfectly matched with the story. I had this image in my head the whole time. It's this like faceless woman in Japanese robes, and her mouth is red stained, and she has no eyes and no nose. So just like put that image into your mind as you think of a quick little novella horror story. I also love that the author, Cassandra Kaw, she's a senior scriptwriter at Ubisoft Montreal, which I think is so cool. I'm a gamer, so I'm just like, oh my god, hell yeah. Okay. Next fantasy top Emma's 2021 reads is I Am Late to This One. It is Raybearer by Jordan Ufueko. And man, I will say a lot of y'all have been telling me to read this one for a little while, so I'm so sorry I'm late. I'm a year late. Raybearer came out in August 2020, but it's just in time, if you haven't read it like me, to read it because the sequel comes out this August, August 17th. So I'm recording now on the 9th, so it should be out in just a couple of weeks, which I'm so excited about. If you haven't picked this one up, Jordan Ifueko, she's a Nigerian-American author, and she has mentioned that this is West African inspired, and the story revolves around a girl named Tarisai who was raised in isolation by her mother, but she only knows her by the name of the Lady. And the Lady sends Tarisai to the capital to become a specially chosen member of the Crown Princess Council, but the Lady also has put a magical curse very deep into Tarisai's consciousness for her to kill the crown prince once they become close. So it's just a really powerful fantasy book with really strong female characters. And Ufueko just has all of these bigger themes that I thought about a lot, about kind of who has power and how they rationalize their decisions and how they're encouraged or discouraged to follow those decisions. And, you know, as a historian too, this book really spoke to me because I think it brings up a lot of questions about like who determines what histories and stories are best kept and shared and kind of what's purposely left out and why is it left out. And, you know, I thought too about like what drives people. And for some people, I think it's their legacy, and I think for others, it's kind of their light, their joy, their love. But I think sometimes it can be all of those things also. And so I think that Raybearer really pulled all of these pieces together. And there's one quote in particular I just want to toss in here because I thought it was so powerful. Quote, should a fool follow his heart, a thief, a murderer? Your heart is not your friend unless you know who you truly are. End quote. So yeah, Raybearer, loved it. Absolutely loved it. It is also queer inclusive. I wish I had read it sooner, but at the same time, I'm really sad because now I have to wait for the sequel. So let me know if you've read this one. You know, like I said, I'm late to this one. So tell me what you thought. Okay, my last top fantasy book so far for 2021. I am not late to this one. This book just came out. This is called This Poison Heart by Kaylin Bayron. And it came out June 29th, 2021. It is a YA fantasy. Bayron is a Black American author whose character development is so good. Oh, this is another book that is going to have a sequel, and I'm really sad that I have to wait for it because it does end in somewhat of a cliffhanger. So just be aware going into that. And it's all about her main character called Breezy's. And Breezy's, or Bree, she has this special gift where she can grow plants from, she has the ultimate green thumb, which, like, I am a plant person. And so, like, she is living the best life. She can grow plants from tiny seeds to rich blooms with just a single touch. Whenever she walks into rooms, plants start to go towards her. And it's just, like, such a cool premise. And when her aunt dies, she wills her this giant estate in rural New York. So Bree and her family, her parents, she has two mothers, they live in Brooklyn. And so they do decide to leave Brooklyn for the summer. And they're hoping, her parents are really hoping to encourage her to learn how to control her gift. Because like I said, every time she goes in a room, every plant kind of tries to even like come out of the ground to come towards her. And she really hasn't figured out how to control this, to use it. So they get into their new home and they also find all of these things they didn't imagine. So there's like this old school apothecary. There's this like giant walled garden with all these literally the deadliest plants in the world, which is very interesting. Plants that shouldn't even exist, especially in rural New York. So people start to come to the doorstep, strangers that are asking for like elixirs and tinctures. And Bree learns that she has a very, very talented way of just creating these. So as the story kind of progresses, there's a lot more questions that come up, and there's a lot of potential enemies that kind of come out of the woodworks. And Bree is doing everything she can to protect herself, to learn about herself, and to protect her family. This is the author of Cinderella is Dead, which I have not read yet, but after reading this, like, that is my next stop, because this was just such a good book. So definitely one of my favorites, I think, so far of 2021 out of all the books I'm going to talk about. So put that up there if you like plants, if you like fantasy, you like black girl magic, you like cool shit, then read this book. Okay, so those are my top four for fantasy books that I have read so far this year. That was Poppy War by R.F. Kuang, Nothing But Blackened Teeth by Cassandra Kha, Ray Bearer by Jordan Ifueko, and This Poison Heart by Kaylin Bayron. So next up, I'm going to tell you about three fiction books I read in 2021 that were my top fiction books. These, I would say all three of these are definitely ones I needed to sit with. And they are books that I had to pace myself with. The first one is Days of Distraction by Alexandra Chang. And this book actually came out in March 2021. But I finally got around to reading it. I saw a little bit about this on Bookstagram. And I'm really grateful that I did, because it's definitely high up there for me. It is by a Chinese-American author, and basically, the story revolves around this young woman who is really trying to learn who she is. She is 24 years old. She is a staff writer at this very prestigious tech publication where she writes up about Silicon Valley billionaires. And her longtime boyfriend, Jay, who is white, decides to move upstate New York for grad school. So she sees this as an opportunity to start kind of this new life with her boyfriend and move with him. And a lot of the story revolves around them traveling to New York. And she thought that this would be kind of a way to reshape herself. But in the process, she has a lot of misgivings about who she is, her role in an interracial relationship. She's Asian American. As I mentioned, Jay is white. And she kind of explores and learns about other Asian Americans in history and talks a lot about her own identity and what it means to be in a lot of different spaces as they move. And I just thought it was really, really powerful. It felt so real to me. It really captured like what microaggressions are like for Asian Americans especially. And so that really spoke to me as an Asian American. It also really speaks to like work culture and like capitalism and like you know, what you need and what you are expected of, and like what your work says they need, but like, is it really what you need? Like, so, you know, I think that piece of it is just very strong. I actually wrote a haiku for this one because I couldn't even like bottle up my feelings really. So my haiku for this one is, this book felt so real. Microaggressions, F you, I sit with this one. And, you know, I wrote that back in like, I don't know, March. And I still sit with this book. So definitely one of my top 2021 fiction picks. And that was Days of Distraction by Alexandra Chang. The other top fiction read, oh man, this one is probably one of the best books I read in 2021, like top five, but it was also not an easy book to read. And this is The Prophets by Robert Jones Jr. Hopefully you all have maybe heard of this one. I saw this a lot when it first came out on Instagram. It came out in January. It's about 400 pages, so it's a little lengthy. And it is by a queer Black American author, Robert Jones Jr. And it is focused on two young enslaved men on a Deep South plantation. So we're going back in time, and how they find one another, and you know, how they care for one another, and what their lives are like. And it's just so, so powerful. Robert Jones Jr. has the voices of the enslaved in their forefront to the story, but there's also voices of slavers in there, which is, like I said, it's really hard to read. And the prose of the book itself is absolutely beautiful. I mean, this book is definitely one you really need to take your time with. A lot of beautifully lyrical, poetic sentences. And I often found myself backtracking, actually, to reread passages. So I'm really just humbled to read a book like this and be a quiet observer of something that is just a piece of art. And I honestly, like, I kept asking the question, too, for this is, like, what makes a book a classic? Because I feel like this is going to be a modern classic. And, you know, I actually looked it up. There was this writer who defined a classic as a book that, quote, never exhausted all it has to say to readers, and, quote, books which exercise a particular influence, both when they imprint themselves on our imagination as unforgettable and when they hide in the layers of memory disguised as the individual's or the collective unconscious, end quote. And so those were definitely pieces that I really felt like resonated with The Prophets. So really interested to get see what you all pull out of this one. I think that every single person that reads this will pull out different pieces. And there's just so much to say about that book. So please let me know. Another powerhouse of a book I read the same month as I read The Prophets, which was honestly both incredible that I read them side by side, but also like very, very heavy stuff. But another one that focuses also on queer love is On Earth We're Briefly Gorgeous by Ocean Vuong. And again, I was late to this book as well. This book came out in June 2020, and Ocean is a Vietnamese-American queer author. And this is another incredibly lyrical, poetic book. This was a really personal book for me. It's really, really deep. And I felt like this is one of those books that just like dives into your heart and just kind of stays there and sits in there. And, you know, I actually wrote up a reflection about this book after I attended an Asian American writing workshop that was themed on matriarchs and mothers. And so, like, thinking of that workshop and the conversations and writing that came out of that, paralleled with this book in particular, it's just really powerful. So this is written as a letter to a mother, the whole story. And it's just very raw. It shows you wounds and memories to questions that we'll never know the answers to. And it's the emotion in this book, On Earth We're Briefly Gorgeous, that our main character Little Dog writes is so powerful, because he's also writing to a mother in a language that isn't hers. So he questions whether she will ever even read this or understand it. And, you know, I thought really deeply on, will we ever know all the stories our mothers have, or why they made the choices we did? And On Earth explored some of my deepest fears that, despite the closeness of my mother and I, the recognition and acknowledgement that my mother is mortal, she is human, and she makes mistakes and decisions that shape my life, and my mother's mothers has made mistakes and decisions that shaped her life, and that cycle never ends. And so Little Dog explores that those relationships and delves into memories about the lives of his mother, Rose, and his grandmother, Lan, and he too recognizes how they have shaped him. And he shows us not just the power of storytelling, but imparts very deep reflections on identity, love, memory, trauma, drug addiction, mental illness, and sexuality. And just like I said for The Prophets, this is not a light read, but I would absolutely say this is a must read. And I'm gonna share a quote with you all that just really spoke to me. Ocean writes, quote, "Some people say history moves in a spiral, not the line we have come to expect. We travel through time in a circular trajectory, our distance increasing from an epicenter only to return again once circle removed." Lan, through her stories, was also traveling in a spiral. As I listened, there would be moments when the story would change, the past never a fixed and dormant landscape, but one that is re-seen. Whether we want to or not, we are traveling in a spiral. We are creating something new from what is gone. End quote. So I really lingered between the spaces of these pages, and I tabbed this one, so I found myself kind of revisiting these tabs a lot. And, you know, Vuong's poetry is just incredible. I mean, like, this book is a fiction, but I would also like slice it as poetry, because it's just really, really beautiful. So On Earth We're Briefly Gorgeous by Ocean Vuong, even though it came out in 2020, I did not read it until this year, so it certainly slots up with one of my absolute top favorite 2021 reads. Oh my god, and just like that, it's already been 20 minutes. So I really appreciate you all listening to what is part one of my favorite reads of 2021, and those were two of my favorite genres, fantasy and fiction. And in upcoming segments, I'm going to talk to you about my favorite poetry choices, my favorite memoirs / essays, and my favorite history books, with a few shout outs at the end of just some books that are among my top recs. So all that to say is, I'm sorry I had to split this up into parts. I'm sorry I don't have a list of just five books for you. I know it probably makes it a little harder, but maybe this will give you guys some more choices. And I will talk to you guys next time for part two of this segment. And if I've mentioned any books that you want to talk about with me, my Instagram handle is @bookedwithemma. And I'd really love to hear what you guys think. The last episode, I talked a bit about Empire of Pain, and some of you all sent some really, really great messages, and I love conversing, obviously, about books, so I encourage you all to reach out. So my top fantasy and fiction picks so far of books I have read, of the 115 books I have read in 2021, are The Poppy War by R.F. Kuang, Nothing But Blackened Teeth by Cassandra Ka, Raybearer by Jordan Ifueko, This Poison Heart by Kaylin Bayron, Days of Distraction by Alexandra Chang, The Prophets by Robert Jones Jr., and On Earth We're Briefly Gorgeous by Ocean Vuong. I'll talk to you guys next time about some poetry and memoir and history picks. Hope you all have a beautiful day, and don't forget to drink some water, do something for yourselves. Thank you guys for listening.
Bye.
Thank you for tuning in to today's episode of Feminist Book Club, the podcast. Want to be part of the club? Here's how you can join us. Obviously, subscribe to our podcast and leave a rating and review for brownie points. Follow along on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest, and TikTok. All of those links are in the show notes. Sign up for our newsletter to be the first to know what our next monthly book pick is. And check out our award-winning monthly book subscription service. Oprah Magazine named it one of their favorite book boxes, and Shonda Rhimes called us one of her favorite subscription boxes in general. There are multiple membership levels for any budget, and it's an excellent way to support the show and the voices you heard today. See you in the club. Well, yeah.